Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series of studies in selected Psalms. And we wish to consider further Psalm 119, that longest psalm in all the Psaltery of Israel, 176 verses. And this lovely psalm in the Psalter, concentration of psalms that the writers, the different psalmists gave us, is just beautiful. And I think that probably the 119th psalm just is a kind of a climax of all the psalms. Now, on our last broadcast, we considered the devotion of the psalmist. And today, we wish to consider the determination of the psalmist not to be diverted from the study of God's word. He was a very determined man as well as a devoted man. And we wish to go to the 119th psalm, and we invite you out there in Radio Land to open your Bibles and study with us, because we're going to consider a lot of different verses in this lovely psalm. In the 119th psalm, we read something of the secret of this man of God who wrote this. Could be Daniel, as we discussed on our last broadcast. Now, here is the secret of his devotion to the Lord. In verse 10 of the 119th psalm, we read, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments." He loved the Lord. And then in verse 34, he loved his word. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." He was in this thing all the way, my whole heart. And here we have him speaking, and he is influenced by this love. The love of the Lord and the love for his word motivates him. We find that the determination of the psalmist stems from the devotion of the psalmist. It's his love for the Lord that is motivation, and here we have him indeed speaking of being on awe before great people. He speaks of the different things that would distract him from the psalms, and he just goes above them all. We read in verse 46, for instance, he says here, speaking of being on awe in the presence of notable people, he says, "I will speak of thy testimony also before kings, and will not be ashamed." Not ashamed of the word of God. Religion doesn't have a good reputation in the minds of unsaved people, unredeemed. It doesn't have a good reputation. The psalmist says, "I've got nothing to be ashamed of. I'll speak of the greatness of the word of God. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings." He was not awed at all. You know, I think of some other men of God in the Bible that furnish us with this wonderful example. And certainly one of them is the Apostle Paul himself. In the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul is accosted by the Lord as he goes up to the city of Damascus to incarcerate the Christians. He was an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to obliterate him, and the Lord met him personally. He was struck down by the glory of the Lord, and he was struck blind, and he went 3 days without food and drink. He was so awed by his circumstance. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now he said, told him, "You go to the city of Damascus, and there's a man going to come to baptize you by the name of Ananias, and he will give you your eyesight back." So Ananias was told to go and call upon Paul in the city. He was told where he was. Ananias was afraid. He says, "I'm afraid of this man." But the Lord said to him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Ananias made the trip. Paul received his sight, and he immediately preached Christ. He had a one-on-one relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is just one example. We could quote others. We could even talk about Naaman, the general in charge of the army of the Syrians. He had leprosy, and a little maiden from Syria, his little housemaid, she says, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet in Israel, for he could heal him of his leprosy." And you know, the king of Syria heard that, and he sent a fortune of money. And he went down to see this man, this great man, this prophet, and he went down there to meet him. And we read in the fifth chapter of 2 Kings, "So Naaman came," verse 9, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me,'" he just sent his servant, "'and stand and call on the name of his God and strike the hand over the place and recover the leper.' Now his servant said, 'Now, sir, if he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it to get rid of your leprosy? Why not wash 7 times in Jordan and be clean?'" Now the point is, Elisha was not awed by this present. He was in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was in the presence of the Lord. And they were not awed at kings. And we have, in the book of Acts, we have Paul speaking before kings, and in many cases not under favorable circumstances. He was a prisoner. He, through the efforts of the Jewish people, he was brought into ill repute, and he was a prisoner. But he told the whole story, and you know they had to listen. They had to listen to this story about the Lord Jesus Christ, because this man was on their hands. So we see that there are more people in the Scriptures, beside the psalmist, the writer of 119th Psalm, who could speak about his glory, the glory of the God, before kings and not be ashamed. He could speak before princes in verse 23. They didn't break his concentration. Psalm 119, verse 23, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." He wouldn't let that deter him, not in the least. And he speaks again of the princes in verse 161. And he speaks there, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe at thy word." He wasn't awed by their presence. His heart was awed in the word of God and its greatness. The proud tried to deter him. Verse 51, "The proud," we read here, "have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." They couldn't break his concentration, not at all. Their continual harassment did not break his concentration in the least. In verse 141, we read there about the Apostle Paul, or rather the psalmist. Verse 141, "I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts." Small and despised in the presence of these proud people, the princes and the rulers. Yes, he was small in their sight, but he was awed at the word of God. That was what caused him awe. Now, he had persecution from violent people. We read in verse 61 of the 119th Psalm, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." How would you like to be robbed at our arm, at gunpoint, for instance, or with a sword stuck against your body? How would you like to be? Wouldn't you be thinking of that? Wouldn't that throw you clear off base? Not the apostle, not the writer, the psalmist, rather. Not at all. Verse 61, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but have not forgotten thy word." Murderers were after him. Murderers were after the psalmist. Listen to what he says about those murderers. Did they deter him? "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me." They wanted to kill him. "But I will consider thy testimonies." Evildoers, verse 115, They're not classified, but he said, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. You will not deter me. You will not break my concentration." And so it is down through the 119th Psalm. Now the Lord permits the trials that came upon it, and he had trials. Trials and tribulation not instituted by men at all. We read in verse 43, "Take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." Just the trials of life did not break his concentration. What do we learn? What is the most profitable thing that we can learn from the 119th Psalm? I think it's this. We live in a day when our concentration is broken. We live in a day when the pressures of modern society, modern living, the pressures of it are outstanding. Do they occupy our minds? Do we share this psalmist's regard for the Word of God, his love for the Word of God, his love for the Lord? Do we share it? There are so many things that can take us away from the Lord. Troubles, trials, bereavement, these things can come in like a flood sometimes and try to destroy us. And Satan is using his angels and his lieutenants too to break our concentration on the Word of God. And I think that this is inspiring as far as I'm concerned. Here was the psalmist that you could not break his concentration. He went on with God in his word. He studied it and he just revered it. And so I think we have a lesson in the 119th Psalm, not only a lesson of devotion, but a lesson of determination. This will test our determination. You know, there are lots of people in the world today, especially men, not ladies, but men, who feel that religion is beneath them. It's for women and children. There is enough in this world to live for God, to test the mettle of the strongest man. I'll tell you, it's a test. Are we so devoted to the Lord? Are we so enraptured by his word, like the man that had the Bible laid across his breast and folded it with his arms in his casket, showing his love for the Lord? Oh, how wonderful it is to have the Word of God at our fingertips, in our libraries, on our tables, and be able to read about the Lord and his wondrous love to us. May we have that experience of the psalmist. Father, today, help us to revere thy word. Help us to thank you for the love that led you to give your son to die for our sins so we could go to heaven. In his name, amen.